We may make a few detours between now and the end of the year, but we'll at least make a beginning of John chapter 10 this morning. I want us to read again the parable that our Lord spoke at the beginning of John chapter 10, and then we will ask the Lord's help in our study today. So John chapter 10, beginning our reading at verse 1, and we'll read down through verse number 6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is the thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. The word of God opened before us. Let's bow our hearts now in prayer and ask that he would open this book to our hearts and open our hearts to the book of God. Father in heaven, we come to thee this morning thanking thee for your great mercy and gathering us together as thy people. You have ordained that we take the Lord's Supper, and Lord, we have done that. You have ordained that we sing unto thee and that we read thy word, and that this day we pray unto thee, and Lord, we have done that. Lord, we have given gifts to thee as you have summoned us to do. But Lord, now we come to thy word. And we ask that you would speak to our hearts from this thy book. Lord, come, make it a lively book in every heart. Lord, there is no problem as far as life is concerned in thy word. The problem, Lord, is with our hearts. And we ask, O God, this day that you would strengthen us, that you would empower us, that you would speak to our hearts even as we gather around thy word. Lord, to that end, I ask for the moving of thy spirit, even in my own soul. Lord, grant to me that sacred anointing. But Lord, give to all of us ears to hear thy voice, ears to respond to thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The events of chapters 8 and 9 all occur on one day. It was a Sabbath day. It was the day after the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the last day of that feast. In this day, this Sabbath day, there was the forgiving of the woman who was condemned. Truly, she was justified by our Lord. And that produced a debate that lasted the whole chapter. And at the end of the chapter, they were angry with our Lord and they were going to stone him. He walked through their midst, and as he was walking through their midst, he saw a man born blind, and he healed the man. He had mercy upon him. Here you have a picture of regeneration by our Lord. That man came back up into the area after washing his face, washing his eyes, came back into the area where our Lord was. Crowd of people were there, and they were all wondering how he was able to see what had happened to him. And there was a great debate that took place between this man and his parents and the Pharisees. And then our Lord appears again. He was there all along somewhere in that area. And now he appears again and he seeks out this blind man who's been excommunicated by the people. Here is the curtain, as it were, being pulled back so that you can see one day in the life of our Lord. It was a full day. He did many things that were religious, showing that we too can do many things that are religious. There was a stress on justification in the salvation of this woman caught in adultery. There's a stress on regeneration, as you see a man's body being regenerated, and that teaches us concerning the need of our soul to be regenerated. Certainly, in the day and age in which we live, we're in need of these two great themes coming forth on the day of the Lord. But then the Lord spoke, and when we come to chapter 10, he is now speaking actually to these Pharisees who had opposed him. You'll note that at the end of chapter 9, they asked him, were they blind? And then he indicts them in verse 11, teaching them that they truly were blind. And immediately he goes in, speaking unto you, literally unto them, that is the Pharisees. Strange, is it not? I dare say for most of us, we come to John chapter 10, and it's a glorious passage that we love to think upon. The Lord is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the door to the sheep. He gives to us eternal life. And yet, when he began to speak this, it was spoken as a rebuke to the Pharisees. A rebuke. We find that verse 6 says it's a parable. It's not the normal word for parable. The normal word for parable has the idea of casting alongside. That is, you cast a physical story alongside of a spiritual truth. This particular word has the idea of something that is concealing spiritual meaning or symbolic meaning, and it needs interpretation. It's veiled language. It's enigma. It's sometimes referred to as an allegory. Well, here is Christ giving the parable, and then we find throughout chapter 10 his explanation of that parable. Now, most of God's people, when they come to the parable, can easily understand what it's about. And we note, and we'll speak of this a little bit later, the Pharisees could not understand. But when you come to this parable, you understand that the shepherd is Christ. You understand that the sheep are believers. You understand that the thieves and robbers were the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Who is the porter? He's the only one that God's people have trouble with as far as figuring out who is this man. Some have said in their commentaries he's not to be understood as a man. It just shows that Christ has free access in and out of the sheep. Well, that certainly is true. He does have free access. But if the shepherd is Christ, and the sheep are believers, and the thieves and robbers are indeed the religious leaders, you would think that the porter has some import as well. As you go through the rest of the chapter, the porter is not mentioned. And yet here, he hears the voice of Christ, he sees Christ, and he opens up to Christ. Those who would seek a clear reference to the person can look to the commentaries, and they'll give you a number of different answers. Some say it's God. He is the porter who opens up. Some more specifically, the Holy Spirit. Others would say Spirit-filled prophets. Perhaps this section of teaching should be viewed as a progression. Here you have Christ going to the porter. The porter opens the door. He goes in, he gets his sheep, and he takes them out. The next time the door is mentioned, who is the door? The door is Christ. Christ came into this world, and he came to the sheep, and he was given free access to the sheep, but now the sheep are clearly his. They're following after him, and the only way to get into his sheepfold is to come through him. I would suggest that it's probably the Holy Spirit who is viewed as the porter here. He was the one holding the sheep of God until Christ could come. And now Christ has come, and he's come into the sheepfold. The Pharisees don't like that, but he's come into the sheepfold, and he's leading his sheep out. And if you want to be a part of that sheepfold, you must now go through Christ. So I would take the porter as either the Holy Spirit or Spirit-controlled prophets who held the sheep until Christ would come for them. The three groups upon which nobody really debates is the three groups that I mentioned already. There is Christ, the real shepherd. There are the real sheep, the true sheep of Christ. And then there are the religious leaders who were false shepherds. I want us to think on those three groups this morning, focusing especially on our relationship to the shepherd and what it means to us. Obviously, there's much that's going to be told to us as Christ himself begins to explain the parable. But if we just limited ourselves to the parable, just limiting ourselves to what he is saying, there is a lot of truth here that would bless our hearts and would stir our souls if we understood it aright. We must follow Christ alone. And we have the same responsibility as the sheep mentioned here, to repudiate every false shepherd. You have never met a Pharisee, perhaps, but you have met many, many false shepherds. They're all around us in the land in which we live. And they're trying to take you away from Christ. And so we have some of the same admonitions given to us as was given here concerning Christ and his sheep. The first thing I would bring to your attention is the religious leaders are harming the sheep. And then we'll look at the fact that the good shepherd is helping the sheep. And then we will note that the sheep are honoring the shepherd. So those are the three heads on which we're going to base the message this morning. First of all, the religious leaders are harming the sheep. Would you note their reaction to the sheepfold is wrong? You see that in verse 1. They don't have any authority over or among the sheep. They can't enter through the door. The door is blocked to them. The porter won't let them in. And so instead of coming through the door the right way, how do they come in? Well, they're climbing over the walls, trying to steal the sheep by climbing over the walls. Now, you're not going to lift the sheep over the walls. You're going to try to somehow bring the sheep back out the opening that you should have come in the right way. But the porter won't let them in. They're blocking their way. And so they're trying to come in over the wall. What a way of describing false teachers. God doesn't approve of them. God knows who they are. And God is blocking their way. And so they're trying to find some other way into the house of God. Some other way into the sheepfold in order that they might steal and they might destroy the sheep. You say that's pretty strong language. But that is the language of our Lord, is it not? Look at what he calls them. In verse 1, he calls them thieves and robbers. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The word thief means to steal by trickery, by stealth, by doing things that are done in secret, perhaps when people are sleeping. These religious leaders are moving into the church of God, unbeknown to the church, perhaps making profession of faith, as Paul said in Acts chapter 20, that there would be these elders who would come in the midst and would destroy the flock by teaching things contrary to the word of God. When you come to verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." The one coming over the wall, who won't come through the door, the one who's being rejected by God's Spirit and the Word of God, that man is coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Would that we would view false pastors that way. I'm not talking now about men that you might have minor disagreements with as to interpreting the Scripture. I'm talking about those that are denying the cardinal truths of the gospel. Those that are denying the cardinal truths as to who God is and what he is like. Talking about the unity movement, Unitarians. Talking about the cults. Talking about Romanism, who has another gospel. Talking about the Greek Orthodox Church, which has another gospel. Talking about Protestants and Presbyterians, who have another gospel. Now, there are Protestants that hold forth the Word of God. And there are Presbyterians that hold forth the Word of God. But there are many who do not. And they're in a pulpit this morning, and they are thieves trying to steal what remains of the sheep before them. Trying to destroy them. And we have to stand against them. Denominations and churches that once preached the truth no longer are preaching the truth. Church of Rome was a good church. Read about it in the book of Romans. But it's not now. And the Presbyterian church in this country, that was a good church, is not now. There would be no need for this church if the Presbyterian church that was founded back in the times of the Civil War was doing what it should have been doing. We can look at the Methodist church, we can look at the Baptist church, we can look at the Congregational church. We know that none of those churches have been left untouched by the apostasy of the age. And so we have to look for men and brethren who indeed honor the Word of God to find out who are following the Good Shepherd and who have turned their eyes away from the Good Shepherd and are now following thieves, those who have stolen from the flock of God. Would you note they're also called robbers? A little more serious term. Idea of stealing, obviously, you're a robber. But this would be more of a bandit, a highwayman. This would be one who would be taking away by force. The first has the idea of taking away by stealth. But this one is taking away by force. It's used sometimes politically of the revolutionary and the rebel, the insurrectionist. You see the word used that way in John chapter 18 and verse 40. But here it's used of the one who is coming in among the flock, and if need be, he will use force to try to take over the flock. And we have seen that in different denominations. What did they do in the Presbyterian church? Once the apostates got control of it, they got rid of Machen, they got rid of McIntyre, and those that were true believers, they got rid of them by force. Long history, 2,000 years, of those who have taken over the flock of God by force. What did they do to the reformers? Many of them were burned at the stake and brutally killed by the Church of Rome because the Church of Rome was taking the sheep by force. We have then these religious leaders who are thieves and robbers. You say, well, were they trying to take over the flock by force? Yes. What were they just doing at the end of chapter 8? Picking up stones trying to kill the shepherd. By slick teaching, you might say, by deceptive teaching, by brute force, these false teachers are trying to destroy the body of Christ. Their response to the sheep is wrong. They've come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They've come to overpower them and to push them down under their authority. And yet they're not known by the sheep. The sheep do not know their voice. That's what we have heard here. Verse 5, but a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. They flee from these strangers. That's the proper attitude. That's why you're here this morning, I hope. You have heard the false shepherds, and you have fled from them, and you're coming here because you want to hear the voice of Christ, because you want to follow Christ, the good shepherd. Their response to the shepherd is wrong. Would you note in verse 6, they do not understand the speech of Christ? Here are religious leaders, but they don't understand the speech of Christ. And I can take you to volume after volume. I have volumes of religious books on several shelves that I call my poison shelves. And it's full of religious writings. And they don't understand the very writings that they're talking about. They don't understand Christ. They don't even understand the speech of Christ when it is about them. This parable is about them. It was written to rebuke them. It was written to chastise them. It was written to bring about repentance in their heart and soul. But they do not understand it because of their proud hearts. And there are men that make their living studying this book and giving something on a Sunday from this book. But because of the pride of their hearts, they don't understand what is being said there, even when it is talking about them and thundering forth judgments upon their head. Eventually, real sheep will follow the real shepherd. They might for a while be deceived, but they will follow the real shepherd. The thieves and the robbers and the strangers will not be followed by the real sheep. You and I look at churches and we say, wow, look at all those people in that church. Are you sure that they are sheep? If the man standing before them is denying the great truths of Christ, the great truths of the gospel, then how can you be assured that the people sitting under the ministry really are sheep? The sheep flee from the stranger. The sheep do not hear the voice of the religious leader that is following another drumbeat. They follow Christ if they're true sheep. Real believers flee from the false shepherd and follow Christ. Religious leaders are harming the sheep. Oh, we're a religious nation. Isn't that a good thing? Not if the religious part of our nation is against Christ. Everybody is using religion today. And they're saying, I'm a Christian. Well, are you really? I'm a Christian, but I believe abortion is all right. Oh, is that right? I'm a Christian, but I believe that sodomite marriage is all right. Is that right? I'm a Christian, but I don't believe Christ was God. Is that true? I'm a Christian, but I don't believe that you're saved solely by grace. You've got to work. When you begin to examine what these men and women are telling us, especially religious leaders, it's very clear there's a denial of the Word of God, both as to who Christ is, what He has done, what even the morality ought to be among God's people. It's very clearly stated in Scripture. Secondly, when we come to this parable, our Lord tells us that the good shepherd is helping the sheep. The good shepherd, the real shepherd, is a help to the sheep. Would you note He has a right to the sheep? Verses 2 and 3 tells us He has a right to the... He enters through the door. The shepherd has the porter opening to Him. He has credentials to come in among the sheep. We could go through those credentials this morning and show you that from Scripture it's very clear who the shepherd would be and what he would accomplish. And Christ comes in to the porter and the doors are wide open to Him. He is the only one, truly, who would match this description of the shepherd when you come to the Old Testament. Over 300 passages of Scripture dealing with His first coming. And he meets that standard so that the Spirit knows who to open to the sheepfold. The true prophet of God, like John the Baptist, knew who to open to the sheepfold, to open up and let Christ come in and have full sway. He has authority to enter the sheep. He receives the sheep from the fold. He leads the sheep from the fold. He becomes the door to the sheepfold. All of that is done legally because He has a right to enter. He passes by the proper guardian. That's what the doorkeeper literally means. He's a guardian. He properly goes by. And now, given to Him are these sheep, and He's going to lead those sheep. He's going to be responsible for the sheep. He has a right to the sheep. Secondly, He has a remembrance of the sheep. He has already made His voice known to them in the past. They hear His voice. They recognize it. They hear the voice of the stranger, and they don't go out of the sheepfold, but they recognize the voice of the shepherd. How is that? He has just arrived on the scene. But through the Spirit of Christ, they have been listening to His voice in the Old Testament Scriptures. Through the application of the Word of God to their hearts, they have been listening to His voice. So now when He appears and His voice is actually broadcast among them, they all flock after Him. They know His voice. More than that, you find that He is making known His names for the sheep. Think of that this morning. The Lord knows your name. Others may not. Others in this congregation may not. Small congregation, perhaps we all know each other's name. But if someone does not know your name, be encouraged, he does. The Lord knows the names of His sheep. And He calls them by name. He calls them with that intimate call to come unto Him. And they come. They come. Would you note as well, He is responsible for the sheep. He is the only shepherd. There is not a second shepherd. He is the only shepherd. The shepherd here is singular, not plural. He is the special shepherd. He is the one prophesied of long ago. He is the one who's met the credentials, as we have said, that is required of the shepherd. He is the shepherd who would sacrifice Himself. We saw that in our earlier Bible reading as He gave His life. Nobody took His life. He laid down His life for the benefit of His sheep that they might have eternal life. He is a sufficient shepherd. He don't need another shepherd. He doesn't need the help of another shepherd. He alone is the shepherd of God's people. Now we speak of under-shepherds who help Him. But they are only to take orders from Him. And when they step out of line, they have no authority. He is the one true shepherd of his people. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter uses this imagery in describing our Lord, in describing our following after the Lord. Verse 25, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are ye returned unto whom? The shepherd and bishop of your souls." The word bishop means overseer. He's the one that has complete control over those who are underneath of him. He oversees them. He marks them. He makes decisions on their behalf. He will discipline them. He will encourage them. He is the overseer. And the word overseer is parallel here with the word shepherd. That's exactly what the shepherd does. He marks his sheep. He knows who they are. He calls them by their name. He leads them. He provides for them. He protects them. And you and I have returned to him. There are those today who think that they have need of help and they return to a church. Your life isn't going quite right, and they remember that they went to a church. Maybe they'll find help in the church. My friend, this kind of help that we're talking about this morning is not to be found in a church. It's to be found in Christ. Now, if Christ is in the church can be of help as the church exercises the gifts given to her by the Spirit of Christ. But it's Christ who is the single shepherd. It is Christ who calls his sheep by name. It is Christ who we read here leads the sheep, and they follow him. Look at verse 4. "And he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them." He is not just sending you at your own charges. He is walking with you. He is walking before you. He's leading you every step of the way, is the imagery here. What a shepherd. Danger comes to us, it comes to the shepherd as well. If abuse comes to us as a sheep, it comes to the shepherd as well. He's there with his sheep. And this morning he is here leading his sheep. Now we don't perfectly follow. Sometimes we end up in bypath meadow and it has to come and get us. But he will leave the 99 and go after the one straying sheep and bring it back, bring that sheep back, because he is the sufficient shepherd for his people. Would you note that he puts them out? That's what it says in verse 4. "And when he putteth forth," the Greek word is he puts them out. Literally, he casts them out. I say that to you because when you come back to chapter 9, this is what happened to the man who was excommunicated. Look at verse 34. "And they cast him out." End of verse 34. They cast him out. Same word. They cast him out. You remember that we were looking at John 6 and verse 37, the last time we were in this passage. And we said in John 6, 37, he said to his sheep that he would never cast them out. And here was a man that was one of his sheep, and they cast him out of Israel. And he went and he found him, and he brought him to himself. And the man bowed before him, confessing that he was indeed the Son of God. But now he's putting them forth out. I think this could have reference to the nation of Israel, bringing his sheep out of them. He's never going to put them forth apart from himself. He holds his sheep. They belong to him. But he takes his sheep out of the religious establishment when the religious establishment turns her back upon him. Puts them out. So here is Christ leading. Here is Christ putting them out. Here is Christ going before them. He is indeed the religious leader of his people. And he puts the true believers out of the religious bodies of their day when those religious bodies have apostatized from him. What a shepherd. There is no shepherd like this shepherd. Either you will have the religious leaders as your shepherd this morning, or you can have Christ. But you can't have both. I'm not saying there are no religious leaders following Christ, but they're under shepherds. You really have Christ that you're following after. And if you are not following after Christ, then you will be duped by the religious leaders. You will be destroyed by the religious leaders. Christ comes and he takes us away from the authority of religious leaders and brings us under his authority. Now, under his authority does mean bringing us into a church. Under his authority does mean that we will do what he has ordained in that church. But he is the one who is in control. We are merely the sheep of his pasture. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 100. You see this imagery through the Old Testament. I was tempted this morning just to look at every passage dealing with this imagery of our God as our shepherd. You find it especially in the Psalms. You find it in Isaiah. He is this great shepherd. But one of the Psalms we love to sing, the whole Church of Christ uses this as a doxology of praise to the Lord. In Psalm 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye." What are we to know? "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." We belong to him. He's the one who's guarding the sheepfold and has given it now to the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Jesus Christ is watching over the sheepfold. We come then to the true sheep. And we see that in every turn here, they are honoring Christ as their shepherd. They're owned by Christ. They're in his pasture. They are looking for his presence. They desire not just for a shepherd to be among them. The thieves and the robbers claim to be shepherds. They're looking for the presence of Christ, his person, to be manifested to them. They desire the real shepherd. They cast off the voice of those that are not shepherds. And they're listening, their ears are tuned to hear the voice of Christ. They're owned by Christ. They're also obligated to Christ. By their actions, the sheep honor Christ, to whom they're obligated. They hear the shepherd's voice, and what do? They listen. But they don't just sit there, they go. They follow after him. And that's what we find in verse number 3. "To him the port doth open, and the sheep hear his voice," that is the shepherd's voice, "and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." We have Christ leading us out. He is the one speaking to our hearts. We're looking for that one who knows our name. That one who is truly intimately acquainted with our soul and with our ways. They follow the shepherd. You see that all the way through here. He leads them. He goes before them. He puts them out of where they were into where they ought to be in following after him. That's a key characteristic, is it not, of the sheep? They follow the shepherd. You honor Christ by following him. You dishonor Christ when you don't follow him. When you say, "I'm not going to follow Christ," well, what are you actually saying? You're saying he's not worthy to lead you? He's not wise enough? He's not powerful enough to meet your needs? Are you saying he's not loving enough? He doesn't care for your needs? I mean, what are we really saying when we won't follow after him? We are dishonoring him, are we not? Here is the real shepherd, and he's come among his sheep, and he's inviting us to follow after him. What are we going to do with that? We're going to follow because we believe he is wise enough to meet our needs. We believe he is strong enough to meet our needs. We believe that he is loving enough, that he is caring enough to meet our needs. And so what do? We follow after him, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's danger outside the sheepfold. No question about that. Leave the sheepfold, that is the pen where the sheep are kept. You leave that and you go out into the world. There's danger from the weather. There's danger from the terrain of the land. There's danger from enemies that would come against the sheep, such as the wolves that are here described later on. Yeah, there's danger out there. But we have a shepherd who is leading, who can protect us, and who can provide for everything that we have need of. So we follow him. We follow him. They're owned by Christ. They're obligated to Christ. And the stranger is an offense to them. They don't want the stranger. They don't want the foreign voice. They don't want this one who's come to seek them and to kill them and to destroy them. They don't want him. In fact, the imagery here is that they are fleeing from the stranger. Look at verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow? What will flee from him? True sheep, real believers, want nothing to do with the false prophets of our day. They're going to flee from those who are trying to destroy God's people. They don't follow the stranger. They don't listen to his voice. Here they are in the sheepfold, and the stranger comes over the wall and begins speaking to the sheep, and the sheep say, "You don't know my name." Speaking to the sheep, says, "You don't know my heart. I've never heard that voice before, and I'm not going to follow that voice, and I'm not going to listen to you. I don't care what you say your credentials are. You haven't come in by God's way. You are not God's servant. I have a shepherd, and I'm going to follow him all the days of my life." They know the voice of the true shepherd, and they won't follow the stranger. I've never had the privilege of being a shepherd or caring for sheep. Father-in-law had goats, and brother-in-law kept up that tradition for a while of raising goats. So when my daughter was younger, she didn't play with dogs, as most normal people do. She played with goats. And she would take a goat from when it was first born and raise that goat and play with that goat and feed that goat. And when she would come, she had a little call that she gave, and the goats would come running across the pasture when they heard her or saw her. Just come running across the pasture. There were occasions that I was supposed to pen up the goats or capture a goat for milking, and the goats wouldn't have anything to do with me. You know what they did? They fled. They just turned around the other direction. Now, those are goats. I'm sure that the sheep are very much like goats. The sheep don't have any way of protecting themselves. And when a stranger comes, what do? They run away from the stranger and they run to the shepherd. The shepherd is their protection. We're following him. And this morning, if you're one of his sheep, this makes the Christian life so simple, does it not? Your life is the life of following the shepherd. Bottom line, that's how simple it is. Your life is to follow the shepherd. And when the shepherd tells you to do something, you do it. And so he comes to us and he gives us instruction as to what we ought to be in our home. He comes to us and he gives us instruction as to what we ought to be in society. He comes to us and he gives us instruction as to how we're to live when we're by ourselves, how we're to live when we're among others, how we're to live in the church. We're to follow the shepherd. We know his voice, and we are going to follow him. I realize it's difficult following someone you cannot see, but you have given to you the message of Christ to us in this book, and you have within you the Holy Spirit, and you have heard the voice of Christ through that Holy Spirit, and he will speak to you and apply to you the Word of God as you read it, as you study it. He will keep you from error. He is the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, while there are strangers, there are religious leaders who have no authority over the flock and yet are trying to assert authority over the flock. Yet we have a true shepherd. He will guide us. He will provide under shepherds for us. He will give us his word. He will give us liberally of his spirit. And he will guide us every step of the way until he takes us to glory. The psalmist said that he will lead me with his counsel and afterward receive me to glory. We are being led this morning by the shepherd. All you have to do is follow. You don't have to be Einstein. You don't have to be the most talented person on your block. You don't have to be the prettiest. You don't have to be the strongest. All you have to do is follow. Just follow the shepherd, and he will bring you all the way to glory. There's a hymn in our hymn book. Goes something like this, at least the first stanza. It's a prayer. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Very simple message this morning. Very simple application. And yet this morning, there are some who have followed Christ, and perhaps you're in Bypath Metal this morning. Come back to Him. He's not far away. Come back to Him. This morning, say to Him that you love Him and that you are going to follow Him all the days of your life. This morning, you are not following the shepherd. You're doing your will. You might be responding to authorities in the earth, but you're not responding to His authority. You need Christ as your shepherd. Come to Him. If you won't come to Him, you're going to find all kinds of false shepherds in the earth, and they will deceive you, and they will destroy you. They really have no love for you. They will steal you away. They will kill you. They will destroy you, destroy your family. Come to Christ this morning. Lay hold of Him. You say, I'm following after Christ, but I'm tired, I'm weary. The shepherd knows that. Come and tell your complaints to Him. Come and tell your needs to Him. He is able to meet all of your needs this morning. Let Him know. It's His responsibility. He's the shepherd. He's purchased you with His blood, and He will bring you all the way to glory. But tell Him what you have need of, and He will hear and answer. I'm your servant for Christ's sake. If you have need of Christ, I'm happy to introduce you to my Savior. I can't save you, but I can point you to the one who can. But this morning, you can have Him right where you sit. Come to the shepherd. Lay hold of Him. Call upon Him. And He will hear and answer. Father in heaven, we come to Thee this morning thanking Thee for this simple parable that's found in Thy Word. Truly, it was an enigma to those who were false teachers. They didn't realize all that was being said about them. And yet, Lord, You said it very clearly and very plainly. This morning, Your sheep do understand what You are speaking about here. Your sheep know Your voice. We have heard Your voice in past days in the study of Thy Word. And day after day, You communicate to us with Your voice. Lord, we ask that You would continue to speak. The thing we fear more than anything is that the shepherd stops speaking to us. Lord, give grace. Continue to speak. Continue to minister to our hearts. Continue to lead us forth. Continue to provide. Continue to protect. Lord, Thou art the real, true, good shepherd. And Lord, we come to Thee this day praising Thy name that we're part of Your sheepfold. Lord, for any that are here this morning without Christ, we ask, bring them into the sheepfold this morning. Let them come to the door and find entrance. Let them come to Christ as the good shepherd and embrace Him as their shepherd this morning. Lord, do that gracious work. Whether the person seeking Thee is here in this body, whether the person seeking Thee is watching by way of internet, Lord, give them grace to seek Thee and to find Thee. Lord, there are among Your people those that are hurting. They have been chased by wolves this week. There are those among Your people that are hurting physically or perhaps spiritually, and it's hard for them to follow after. Lord, we know that You carry the young in Your bosom, and we ask, Lord, that You would show mercy and grace and help to each one of those that are part of Thy flock. Lord, we're not here today because of political reasons. We're not here today because of national reasons. We're not here today because we all speak the same language. Lord, we're here today because we're following the shepherd. And we ask that He would receive glory and praise and honor to His own great name as we follow hard after Him. Lord, give great grace, we pray. Save the lost. Build up Your people. Restore the one who has wandered. And Lord, may your people be strengthened this day to honor and glorify thee the whole day. Bring us back tonight, expecting to meet with thee. Bring us back, Lord, in anticipation that our shepherd will be here speaking to our voice. Lord, come. Come and help each one, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.